we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to a pre-festive edition of the Purely Arsenal podcast. And we've got a lot to celebrate, I think, lads. We've got a plethora of goals. I think that has been not forthcoming in recent times, but now we've got too many to talk about, I think. So we're going to do a quick 45-minute quick fire pod for everyone, and we're going to do another one for the listeners. It's going to be a question-based pod, but we will talk about those last two games, actually, which have delivered 9 goals between the two of them. So firstly, let me introduce our panel today. So we've got Michael Harris with us. Thank you for joining.
Hello. Season's greetings. Bit of a weird one. Usually this time of the season when we have a pod, it's usually bar humbug, but things have been opposite. So I don't know what's going on. So, good to see you guys, you know, and happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas, Michael. Yes, happy Christmas to you. And we've got the one and only LL Cool James, James Johnston. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, yeah. Before, let's get it out of the way before it all starts.
Oh, it's your birthday in 2 days, Jesus. Yeah, all right, yeah. Let's get it out of the way. I'll do the jokes so you don't have to. Right, that's done. Let's go football. Let's go.
That's a good one.
Let's just get that out of the way let's go.
Oh, brilliant. All right, anyway, look, let's
I haven't got any crackers to open to tell any jokes. We'll just do pure football. Well, I'll try.
Oh dear. Alright, come on. Alright, let's do football. Okay, firstly, Michael was quite right. I was very rude there. Merry Christmas to all our listeners and everyone who interacts, so thank you so much, and we hope you have a good one and a pleasant start and a pleasant safe start given the circumstances at the moment to 2022. So yes, fingers crossed for all of us there. So let's get on with it. So we've got 2 games I want to touch on. Let's start with the most recent, which was a fantastic quarterfinal against Sunderland in the Carabao Cup. We scored, you know, loads of goals, but we need to focus on one individual. James is frowning, so I'm wondering if everything's okay on your end.
No, if you want to talk about Charlie Patino, then let's go.
I know who you're going to talk about. Let me lead it. Shush, be quiet. Right, so James, let's go to you, because you've been calling him out in a good way for a long, long time. So the game, I felt, was all about Eddie Nketiah and his hat-trick.
Oh, you shot me.
Fantastic. No, credit where credit's due. Poacher's goals, fox in the box. He's got some kind of affinity with the Carabao Cup. He scores plenty of goals. He seems to relish that in that competition. You know, the third goal epitomised everything that was good about him on that night. But it was a good team goal as well. Some great, great build-up play as well for that one. But James, just go to you, because you've always highlighted him and you've always thought that there was something about the lad. So what are your thoughts on Eddie Nketiah on that game?
Yeah, I've always, you know, it's a bit of a running joke because I know it sort of wound people up at the time. It was, you know, a bit of fishing for some nibs, and it used to get bites. But no, I've always said the guy will score you goals. You know, at the end of it, regardless of whatever they are, if they come off his nose, his arse, you know, whatever, he will score you. His movement is always there to score goals. And at the moment, we had a striker that obviously I wasn't on the previous pods to discuss it, and it's sort of old news now. We know this guy's not going to come back, so why tread over old ground? But this guy, even though he's a better player, even now that he's, you know, in purgatory or whatever he's been put in, he's still a better player than what Eddie Nketiah is. But he was getting in the positions and missing. And people go to me, oh, yeah, but look at that header against Everton. And yeah, in an ideal world, I'd have loved Nketiah to score that header against him. Everybody would have. However, you know, I've watched Aubameyang all season miss sitters, goes into the next game, does it again. this guy missed his sitter. He scores three arguably weldies. And the one where he lobbed it and it hit their keeper in the face, if he dinked it over, that would have been one of the best goals for years, because the touch to bring the ball down, I think it was it Holding or White that played that through ball over? Part of me thinks it was probably White, because that's White's game. But another part of me is like, I think in the chat, I was like, Holding. What a ball. Part of me thought it was Holding, but.
Because you were,
Yeah, right. But the way he brought that down, if that went, I'm like, that would have been.
Yeah.
You would have just gone, oh my word. Like, but this is the thing, you know, he might not, I don't think he's going to go in January. And that's, you know, that's a shame, because it could bring some money into the, but at the same time, I think the guy's got to look at it and go, you're probably not going to get a team that's going to start you every week that's not going to be in a relegation type of fight. And when you're in a team like that, are they going to create you the chart? You know, for me, as much as Merson talks a lot of waffle, he also talks some sense. And he said on Sky, he's best off signing for Arsenal, because eventually Lacazette's probably going to go. They don't see Martinelli as the main man down the middle. Balogun's got to go on loan because he's not clearly ready yet. And he said all these players at Arsenal, these young ones, will create. And he said he'll have poacher chances like he got there in the Premier League. And they and Paul Merson went, his movement's good enough to get in those positions. Yeah. He said they'll just feed him all day. But for me, I just, for however good of a goal scorer he is, we need someone that does what Lacazette does, but is about 6'2", 6'3". If we get that, look at the crosses. I mean, Nuno Tavares in that game, Neil, we've all praised him, you know, I big up Tierney now that he's back as well. But Nuno Tavares in that game, I don't care. It was Sunderland. If Sunderland had beat us, it'd be a pile on about how crap we are. Why can't I pile on Sunderland and go, they were rubbish? Why aren't I allowed to, you know, I watched the game with my eyes. They were, apart from they come out and played good football and they scored a great goal, but they were shit. They were shit. You know, no, I'm not trying to be overly nasty, but yeah, they weren't great. And I thought Tavares was sensational. I thought Cedric was brilliant as well. You know, shocked.
I think we literally dominated that game on the wings. I mean, even, you know, Pepe was great.
Yeah.
The two of the assists have come, or three of the assists have come from those angles. And I think that's where the game was won. We just dominated flanks.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we was head and above, shoulders above Sunderland on that day because of those positions and the way we set out in that way. But there were some great performances all round. You know, it's going to give Arteta a headache now. You know, a lot of the youngsters came out and they're not saying, look at me, I'm here. You know, I'm ready for selection. You know, even Holding, I thought, was quite good. As a cover defender,
he really helped Ben White, mate, because obviously losing Tomiyasu. You know, we all said it when Ben White even signed for us. He had Dunk and Webster that were at Brighton with him last season because Duffy went on loan to Celtic. But everything that come over, they were winning the headers for him because he can't do that. And Rob Holding, literally, that first half, people said that he was bad, but he got better in the second. I thought he was good all the way through because everything aerially, he was like, no, just constantly.
He knew
Ben White weren't going to get there. So he was like, I'll do that side of it for you and you can do my running because I'm not that quick. You know, okay, he didn't stop the goal, but you know, it happens. It was a good move.
It does.
It was a really good move.
It does. Michael, so I'm just touching on again, Pepe. Pepe's the one that we've been discussing. You've had some thoughts about him. He, two assists, a goal. I know it's Sunderland. I know it's the Caribou Cup, but I thought he played well. He's given the manager some questions to say, well, all right, I may not be consistent, but I can offer something. I can offer you something. And I think I remember you saying, Michael, that he could potentially be a match winner. We were talking about match winners, that we don't have them. And you mentioned Pepe's name, I believe. I may be wrong, correct me if I was wrong, but I think you mentioned him as being one. What do you think of Pepe's performance in the game?
Again, considering the opposition, I think he it was a bit of a slow start with him. I think him and Cedric were working well together and almost seemed to be on the front foot. But, you know, I noticed in the first half, Benjamin White and Arteta were sort of picking him out a few times. You saw when the camera cut to Arteta a few times, shouting at him to get back into defensive positions. And I think there was an instance where Ben White was having a go at him as well when we could see the corner. But yeah, second half, with them tiring, you have to say, because I think there was probably a 15-minute spell after they scored when we were sort of up against it a little bit. We seemed to give them the initiative and we was on the back foot. But then after that, like you said, I think we dominated most of the game. And yeah, he took it on himself. The right back, I can't remember, their left back, sorry. He'll be having nightmares getting nutmeg twice like that, and the noise as well that we got the second one. It was unbelievable. It was unreal. It was like being in the circus when the noise went up like that. And I think I mentioned it with Pepe when he does his bits of skills when he's got some spotted a couple of nice honeys in the first row in row A. He must have been nice. To do that twice, just taking a mic, just coming back from my secondary school days, like I said, with that guy, that maverick who just does that. James mentioned it as well in the WhatsApp group. He definitely spotted a couple in the front row. So.
You were in the front row, weren't you, Neil, at this game? You were in the
front row. I was in the front row. It wasn't me, trust me.
It was you. He was like, Neil's here.
No.
They're going to rip me on that pod if I don't get these assists. They're going to come for me.
No, I don't think it was me.
I think with him and Eddie, all they can do is, with everything that's happening with the situation, with people dropping like fires and games being dropped, they're going to get opportunities to play, and all they can do is try and do, make put themselves in the shop window, so to speak, because it seems maybe Ketty is going to go at the end of the season. Pepe, there's mention of him going, so put themselves in the window by playing well and doing. Proving that they could be there. The first 20 minutes, Pepe was showing to everyone, well, look, this is why you're not in the first team, because you're not doing, you're not doing the bits that Saka would be doing in those situations. But then he stepped it up and he did what he did in the second half. But you've got to take into account the opposition. But, all you can do is beat what's in front of you. Those two did what players of their ilk should be doing against that opposition. I was thinking, I'm talking about Balogun. Disappointing for him because he was played on the left. But he's playing against the League One side. He's been smashing it for the under-21s. I was thinking if he was up front, if he wants to be taking those steps, he should be scoring against opposition like that. But you can see he was trying a bit too much. He was out on the left, though. Pepe and especially Ketcher did what they should do in against that opposition, which was put them to the sword and, show the levels and the gulf that should be there. So it's going to be interesting. I think they're definitely going to feature in the next couple of weeks, 100%.
I think they have to. I think the thing is we've got a busy remainder of December, and then we've got five games in the first 16 days in January because of the Carabao Cup now. And good. We're all glad for it. We're in two legs, and they're kind of, we've got Forest in the Cup, we've got Man City, we've got Tottenham, and you've got five games there. So he's going to have to rotate.
Sorry to interrupt you. It might be one leg. I know they had a meeting today, the Premier League managers and the captains, and they were discussing the fixtures, and even Klopp came out and said that, he's happy to play Arsenal one leg, at the Emirates.
Okay.
He's happy to go down there, have a game, and the best team will win. So he's happy to just, have that one game.
Okay.
So it depends on, I guess we'll see what happens tomorrow when the news comes out, what was the content of the meeting.
Well, that'll be interesting. Would that be a neutral ground, or would it still be at the Emirates?
I saw something pop up, people saying, talking about maybe neutral ground, maybe Wembley or something,
Okay.
They will always take another game because they just want to they look at the money, they look at the hospitality side of things. So they'd love to have an additional game. But if Klopp said, he's happy to have it at the Emirates. So,
Fair enough.
Take him to that, he'll probably load up his side as much as he can rather than playing somewhere with too many kids. But yeah, he said he wants to go there and just have it to one game. But he's been saying that for a while. He's been talking about the League Cup, having it. Well, why is it too late? You know, but we know why. You know, if you're British, you know, fans like us, we know it was because when they revised it, they had to make something different from the FA Cup. It had to be something which
didn't
make it away from it. You know, so it had to be different. But yeah, the way time, you know, time's gone on, I think, you know, we can restrict the semi-finals to one leg. And it won't take anything away from the FA Cup. The FA Cup is the FA Cup.
Exactly. Yeah. It is exactly that. Exactly that. I think what I wanted to also just mention before I mention what James is expecting me to about the game is players like Odegaard. I mean, he's been fantastic over the last few games, let alone, last couple of games. I just wanted to, James, to get your thoughts on him, because he was another one that, you know, some people were not too keen on him. They weren't sure about him. And we managed to get him as a full, you know, full-time permanent player initially when he was on loan. And then there was all this discussion, do we need him? Do we need to get him? Is he good enough? What's he going to offer? I know Jack's a huge fan of him, and I think recently he's starting to really come into his own, isn't he? I mean, his playmaking, his pass through, his passes, his vision, it's fantastic. I mean, some of those goals, you know, were only created because of his guile and his creativity. So, James, what's your take on Odegaard? What have you thought about him?
Same as what we've always been saying. Obviously, in the summer, we looked at other players first. I'm sorry, I don't buy into all this that he was always the first target, because if that's true, why did the bid for Buendia go in? You know, that was pretty much confirmed. We did bid for Buendia. I don't know if we did bid for Maddison or not. I can't really remember that time. I don't think we did. But, you know, at the time, I was looking at Maddison going, well, I know he's got a bad injury record, but the guy does put up quite a bit of numbers. And I'm like, that's what we just need goals, or we need someone that's going to set up. And I was like, Odegaard, for however good he was, didn't really, when he was on loan, give us that. I was like, I thought there was going to be a bit more, but I always knew this guy is supremely talented. When we got him back, I was like, right, very happy. Cause I know that, you know, there's room to grow here, and he's exceeded what I even thought. I mean, Jack, fair credit to him. He said, James, he's the best like footballer, as in natural footballer, at the club already. He's better than all of them. And I was like, okay, I can see where you're going, Jack, but maybe not yet. But no, he's spot on. The guy's sensational. I mean, you filmed the free kick, so I got an even better angle than the one I watched at home on, and I'm like, oh, I'm like, if that went in, I'm like, the guy, yeah. I think it was the third Eddie goal, the pass into Pepe before the, or was it the nut? Was it the Patino one where he did a nutmeg and cry? I can't remember. I'm losing it in my head.
Yeah, there was so many goals.
The initial pinged lofted ball to Pepe.
Great.
Pepe thought it was going past him, and he's like, "I'm not going to catch this." And then when he actually saw it and was like, "Oh my god, this is going to land at my feet," just can't he? You know, all the time, lack of service, lack of. This guy's giving you, you know. We joke that Michael's the milk tray man. That guy's giving you milk trays. He's like, there's your milk trays. Go, and you're like, oh, thank you very much. I'll eat these now. You know,
It's coming together, isn't it? It's like we. I mean, I know you guys disagreed with me a little bit when we'd like, you know, letting so many goals against the bigger sides, but I still felt even at that time that he has made good changes with the defence. You know, he knows his main back four now, if you like, with exception maybe Tierney and Lukonga.
Yeah. We said the other day, Neil, on WhatsApp, if you were to tell me a couple of weeks ago we're going to make 9 changes from a game that I don't care if it was against Sunderland or whoever, us making 9 changes, you're like, no. You're like, nah, because we're not good enough to make 9 changes. But at the moment, and I know we're going to touch on it a bit more later on and everything else, and I don't want to be a flip-flop. People know what I've said about the manager in the past. But the one thing I will credit him for is regardless of the personnel, that either if they're first team, if they're reserve, or even if they're kids, that togetherness from, you know, whatever's happened, they've all bound it, you know. For me, yeah, the board backed him on that decision with Aubameyang, but so have the players, because a lot of people were going, oh, he's very well liked in that changing room, he's not going to get a reaction. I think these lot have gone, to be honest, if he's going to act the way he acts, on the, he's the top earner, he's also the captain, if he wants to go and act like that, fuck him, pretty much, you know, in the nicest, but they're like, yeah, we'll get on with our business. You know, someone like Martinelli's gone, well, I'm better than him anyway.
I think, you know, whatever's happened there, it seems to somehow release the shackles from the team as a whole. I really do believe that. They just seem to be playing, you know, there's a togetherness with all three parts of the pitch now. You've got the defenders doing what they're doing, you've got the midfielders doing all that creative stuff, and then you've got the strikers, as we saw in the last two games, they're finishing. I mean, you know, I mean, if we wanted to, if there's anything else to touch about Sunderland, I mean, I'm going to speak about the great goals that were there, the assist from Pepe, the assist from Lokonga. I mean, Tavares, I'm getting mixed up now. The assist from Tavares, you know, they're great. They weren't rubbish goals. I mean, you were saying some of them were rubbish, but the goals that we created, the football around them, was very, very good and high quality. And likewise, for me, the dream of that young kid coming on, I mean, the crowd went absolutely mental. To make your debut for a club is something special anyway. To score on that debut, he's the youngest debutant since, I don't know, 1963. I don't know the player's name, so forgive me for that. But since 1963, he's the youngest debutant that's come on and scored. I mean, even that, his composure and his confidence, you know, he could have fluffed it. He could have got overexcited and he could have made a mess of it, but he wasn't. He just scored as if he had been playing for us for a long, long time. And again, that's credit to, you know, I think it was another Pepe assist, wasn't it? It was another Pepe assist. I was just blown away. The stadium went absolutely mental for him. That was good to see. And I think the other thing I just wanted to quickly touch on is the goals against Leeds. I mean, if Martinelli, he just came alive in that game. Lacazette was brilliant. Saka, I mean, we played such a good game again. I know that we conceded that one goal, but other than that, and then you got the options of bringing Smith Rowe on and doing what he did. And he linked up well with Odegaard. You know, there was that 1-2 with him. And, you know, he's come on and scored. He's scored, what is it, 6-7 goals now? 3 in a trot or something? You know, he's just blowing everyone apart. And it's just so, we've got so many options now. We have got a real, real headache on our hands. So just wanted to, I know we might be short on time, so we might have to do a bit of editing, but Michael, your thoughts on any of the goals against Leeds, and anything you want to add about that game?
I just thought that and the last couple of games, I just think the attacking aspect of our team has just gone up, obviously it's gone up a few levels in terms of the, you know, we seem a little bit more on the front foot, and you know, everyone was, you know, seems to be more, you know, attack minded now, you know, I mean, maybe because all the places are, the right players are in place, you know, Lacazette, you know, doing what he does rather than it being someone like Aubameyang. So it just seems to me the goals that we scored, the way that we scored them, you know, the balls being played through, the runners, you know, you know, we mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, having those players in there makes such a difference. And you saw that in the second goal for Martinelli, you know, that ball into space, you know, running through onto it rather than it being a bit too intricate. But then
that was Shaka, wasn't it?
Yeah. So if you just get players like that who are rapid, like Martinelli and Saka on the other side, it makes a massive difference. You just make it play that simply, the straightforward, you know, straightforwardish ball, and then you're through, you know, rather than it being a bit more, like I said, intricate. But no, just seem to be doing things really well. Players are enjoying their football. I think touching on what Neil James said about Aubameyang, I think the players, yeah, have cracked on. Because they realise that, you know, I think there may have been a little bit of a resistance if he had been playing well and had been banging in goals and had been winning matches for the team. He's not been doing that, so he doesn't deserve his place in the team. We know that, you know, and you know, you can happily count his money and you know, yeah. If you come in.
I don't want to try and get.
Well, I know he's done. He's come in.
Yeah.
You know, he's got an opportunity and he's taken it. He's run with it. So, you know, fair play to him. So I think, you know, if he had been playing well and had been winning games, like, you know, in the cup finals or whatever, then those players may have said, well, you know, is that the right decision? But I think because he hasn't and he's been taking the mick, then, you know, no one's going to sort of back his case now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Go on, I mean, Jake. Well, most of his, you know, allegiances were mainly the older crop that have all sort of left anyway. You know, Socrates was with him at Dortmund. He went, you know, Mkhitaryan that was with him. He went ages ago. But for me, I don't want to try and drop you two lads in it, but we've all been at work. And, you know, maybe if you wanted a promotion or something, or you work really hard, but there's another guy that's there and, you know, he's either related some way to your boss or whatever, you know, the old nepotism comes. And you're
favoritisms.
Like, yeah, but you're like, this guy, like, he's the top earner. He gets all the, you know, he gets all the commissions or whatever, if you ever worked in a and you're like, he's fucking useless, but he gets everything. I think some of these younger players, people go, oh yeah, they're young and they do silly things. But I'm like, yeah, but they're receptive. They're not, do you know what I mean? These lads know, and also they know what it means to wear an Arsenal shirt because they've had it smashed into them from the age of 8 or 9 since they've been there. And, you know, people like Martinelli have come in and they've caught it. You know, it's infectious. You know, it grips into you. And, yeah, long may it continue, because that's what I want. I don't want people that don't want to be there. You know, you can say, okay, yeah, I've praised Eddie and I've praised Lacazette, but I don't think that's a case of they don't want to be there. They just want to be there on better terms that suit them. And I think if you were to give Lacazette and Nketiah a big money contract, it wouldn't be to the extent of what Aubameyang is, because I think that their effort level is there regardless. You know, for me, this guy, I hate to go back on it, this guy still hasn't apologised. All I'm hearing is woe is me. Oh, look, I'm going to move now. We're me. He's never once come out and said sorry to us lot as fans. I don't know if he's apologised to them in the changing room. You know, we don't get that. We'll know in a few months' time when this documentary comes out. We'll know a lot more. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. But yeah, you know.
But I think just going back to the football, I'm really positive with the options. And I've mentioned it a couple of times already in the pod, but
yeah.
it's just great to see that now we are not in a position where, oh God, someone's got injured or someone's suspended. What do we do? There are options. At the Carabao Cup, I saw pretty much everyone had a good game. I mean, with the exception, and that breaks my heart, Balogun's a big fan. I'm a big fan of Balogun. I just don't think, maybe you guys were touching on it, maybe a loan is the answer for him for a little
Neil,
while.
The others had to get him the others had to do it, mate. So, the others had to yeah. do it. I mean,
No, I appreciate that.
I mean, all we ever heard, right, was how good Reece Nelson was meant to be the be-all and end-all out of all of them that were at the academy. He's on loan in Holland again. Well, not again, but do you know what I mean? He's had to go because we, you know, either he's not ready or in the manager's eyes, or we just can't fit him in. But, yeah. You know, Balogun, for me, you saw the way he was trying. I'm like, you know the talent's in there.
No, he is.
But it's just, yeah, and I mean, you know, playing him on the left, I would have liked to see him
in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always wanted to see him in the middle. Yeah. So maybe that may have been an issue. I think we've covered the games, unless there was anything you two wanted to add. But I want to get back straight into the fans' questions, or the listeners' questions rather, because there's been a few that we've had. So I'm going to ask you guys alternatively, if that's all right. I'm going to start with you, Michael. I feel like you always get bombarded with the Pepe questions.
I'll give it to James then.
No, I want you to answer it. James has been talking enough, haven't you, James? I'm joking. Right, anyway, so Monsieur, he's a good lad. He always asks loads of questions. I'm not going to pronounce his at. I'll try. It's at 11 K_KGAO and then Jello, GELO. So thank you so much for your question. He's saying thoughts on Pepe's performance last night, or rather the night that we played Sunderland. He's saying, in my opinion, he was really poor. His overall performance was masked by the goal involvements. He's not good enough. So quite a strong statement coming on from him. Then he said, TT or Odegaard for player of the match, question mark. So, sorry, Michael, what are your thoughts on that question?
So we kind of touched on it. He seems like he struggled at the beginning, got his goal, seemed particularly happy that he scored the goal. It's got to be said when you look at his celebration. And then he sort of, you know, yeah, he got the assists and he spotted the two chicks in the front row and, yeah, seems to turn it on for, you know, a couple of minutes. And yeah, you know, the thing is, you're comparing him to the output of someone like Saka, who, you know, that's what you do. So when you compare it and you can see that he's defensively, he's not switched on. He has to be constantly reminded, it seems. And yeah, it's Pepe, you know, Pepe performance. You know, a couple of good bits, you know, littered with a couple of bits that you think, you know, come on, mate, you know. But yeah, can you see him being part of the team or the squad next season, though? If a decent bid comes in, I imagine they'll look to sell and reinvest that with somebody else in Arteta's liking. All he can do is try and produce numbers, you know, as James has said, you know, when he gets an opportunity, and he will get opportunities. I think obviously when he returns from a couple of nations, especially if the games are being postponed or what have you. But yeah, he was just a typical sort of Pepe performance. I wouldn't say he was really, really shocking, but you know, he take away the goals, the goal and the assist, and then yeah, you're right. You're thinking, well, what else did he do? I think he's going to have to shape up if he wants to, you know, stay at the club. You know, that's the question. Does he want to stay? And I think his demeanour at the moment looks like someone who's maybe looking at the exit.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. I mean, it's sad because I feel like the guy has got talent, but it's just, I don't know whether it's his attitude, his mental, something wrong there. I don't know. There's clearly an issue, I believe. James, you pointed it out, I think, with one of you guys on the WhatsApp group with that little clip of Arteta and Pepe at the end of the match, and that looked a bit, that just didn't look comfortable, did it? It looked really awkward. So, there's something not quite right there, but who knows? We shall have to wait and see. But he got us the assist to the goal, so we're not complaining at this minute. I'm not going to answer John's question because he's just said Arteta in or out with his usual sarcasm. So, sorry, John. Ask a better question. You might get it aired next time. Melvin Mark's a good friend. James, this is going to go to you. It's a good question, actually. He says, West Ham are the only informed team that we've beaten so far this year. Can we use this win as a yardstick, as that was probably their worst performance of the season? What do you want to say on that one?
That's a really, trust Melvin to ask a really, really good question. Basically, I know someone else replied to that and said, yeah, and they had most of their back five out as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. So John Newton said, yeah, with their entire first choice back four out, freak result. Anyway, I've got my thoughts on it, but go on, James.
Yeah, for me, I wasn't really, I always said we were going to beat West Ham anyway, because I look at what's happened previously. They always get, you know, like how I was a bit trappy when we had Man United away. West Ham, and there's probably not going to be West Ham fans that listen to this podcast, but they were getting a bit. And I went, you always do this, and then you play us or you play Brighton, and we always take the Brighton and us are their bogey teams. We always take the points off them. For whatever reason, we take the point. And I went, we're going to slap you about 2-3 nil. You do know that. And they're like, no. I'm like, no, we're different. Declan Rice, this one. I'm like, Declan Rice got done by Xhaka and Partey. And them two are having a stinker lately. So, you know, this, your Declan, your generational Declan Rice didn't look too mustard against them two, did he? So, you know, no, I think the yardstick, as it was rightfully put there, is going to be what you said earlier. Those, right, that big five games. And this is the same as what I said before when we had the Man United Everton. I went, we've had a little run, but I want this to show me now. Show me. And again, if you want to touch on John's question.
No, we don't.
Okay, well, this is going to, you know, in or out, this little five games is going to tell, is going to prove. You know,
I think I agree. I think the yardstick is coming.
Season could be done by February. If we're being realistic, you're out of all three comps in less than a month, mate. In five games.
Could.
You're out of
everything. But we're not going to be, James. We're not going to be, mate.
Oh, no, I know that. I know this.
Good man.
We're winning. We're winning all the games at least 10-0. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just see the last 2-3 games. I actually enjoyed the West Ham performance. I think I said it at the time. I really enjoyed it. I thought we put a really good performance together. And okay, they may not have been on their A game, but I think we played so well. We didn't allow them to be on their A game. I thought we played a really professional game. We showed all facets of.
Thank you very much. You've sold the word out by now
in that match. And I'm sorry for me. That was so. I don't often disagree with Melvin, but I honestly think that we made them play the way they did. We were just very, very good in that game.
Antonio had to go to right back, mate. He couldn't hack it with Gabriel. And
he had
to move him back. Exactly. He couldn't take it. He couldn't get any joy. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do anything.
No, absolutely. So, no, I can see the future is bright. The future is red and white. And that's where I'm ending that part. So here we go. Joshua Page, he always asks questions. Thank you, Joshua, for that. Michael, he's asking, if you had to take one player not from one of the traditional top six, who would it be and how would they improve our side?
Cracking question, this. Cracking question.
I was trying to rack my brains with it, but there's a guy, I think, in the comments, I think he's JB, I think, has replied. He said Calvin Phillips from Leeds. Like, I still think, as Jack has said in the group, that midfield is an issue for us. And I think, you know, there's links to Renato Sanchez and whatever. But in the Premier, I think, you know, Calvin Phillips is a bit of a destroyer. He you know, is more defensive solidity. You know, more mobile as well. I think if you're looking for an upgrade of Xhaka, you know, I think he's the man for me that I would be looking at. You know, he fits the profile. He's young. He will fit a slot into that English core as well. We'll have another English player.
Played with White before.
Yeah, for England, yeah.
Leeds.
So I think, you know, he will be a great signing, you know, if we had to get someone, you know, test the waters, you know, Leeds are, you know, struggling at the moment. Who knows where they'll end up? But I think, you know, I'll agree with Jay's suggestion. You know, Calvin Phillips for me, thinking right now, probably sitting down and think about it. But I'm thinking, you know, another striker. You know, obviously Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You know, obviously he's not into the traditional top six as well. But for me, I remember watching the Euros at the start and, you know, his performance, you know, in the first game, and I think in another group I said, you know, someone's going to break the bank for him because he's you know, at Leeds, you know, they're a big club, you know, as such, but someone will come in and put a bid in for him, and, you know, because he ticks a lot of boxes. He's exactly the modern day DM, you know, who's mobile and everything, and can also pick a pass as he did to open up the game for England with a pass he made to Sterling. So I would say him, he would be my choice.
Do you class Leicester as being in the tradition? Because the traditional top six is United.
Yeah. Go on, just say the name, James.
Well, us and well, would you put Leicester in the tradition? Leicester for me aren't in the traditional top six, are they?
Well, forget the traditional. Just team someone you'd select then, maybe.
Well, if Leicester aren't in it, then someone put it in the cup. Tielemans. Tielemans.
Yeah, right. Tielemans.
Yeah. 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 Or if yeah. if you do class Leicester in there, Ruben Neves. Next question.
Okay, fair enough. There you go. Well answered. Thanks, guys. Sam, I am _21. She is a regular listener to the pod and has been on the pod as well a couple of times. She asks, thank you, Sam, for the question. She goes, Partey seems to finally be adapting to the PL Premiership. Is injury free and, of course, leaves shortly for AFCON. Who pairs with Xhaka in the midfield while Partey is away? Platino. But anyway, go on, James.
Well, as long as he's all healthy and, you know, out of his isolation and everything, Lokonga, isn't it? But, you know, for the small little period that we've got where that game is the 26th and the 28th, I think Partey's going to play one and then it's either going to be Maitland-Niles or another for that one on the 28th. But then he's...
Do you think Niles will come, will play?
Well, it, Partey and Elneny are going to go, so who else is a centre-mid? Yeah. What other centre-mid do you have? Mm. You know, you can play Patino against Norwich and Wolves. But I thought he was more of a 10 than he is a 8. But maybe that's me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He might not have a choice.
Personally, I don't want to see Xhaka at the base and then Smith Rowe and Odegaard as the two tens. You can't play him on his own. Even against Norwich and Wolves, especially against Wolves, because they'll just run through it, they'll just blitz through us. So you've got to have a double. If you're playing Xhaka, you've got to have a double pivot because that guy can't be left on his own.
We've got an answer. Put Tommy has to play anywhere. Put him there and stick Tavares on his side and Tierney on the. And there you go, you've done it. It's only for a couple of games.
Yeah.
You see Tommy has to rip the midfield apart.
I think if Niles is fit, he's good enough to fit in there.
Yeah, I agree. He hasn't been too shabby, to be fair, when he's come he's been all right.
He was brilliant against Leeds and brilliant against Watford, and then we've not seen him since. Yeah,
God bless him. Yeah. Fair enough. No, good answers. Thank you for that. Thank you, Sam. The next question we have is from RRA. It's Rich. And he's saying, and this one will go to, who did I ask last? Was it you, James?
Me.
This one goes to Michael then. Okay. Shouldn't Balogun go, we touched on this. So shouldn't Balogun go out on loan? What happens when Oba leaves for AFCON or indefinitely? Do you think Eddie and Lacazette rotation will work for us? So we've kind of already touched on it, but Michael, if you've got anything else to add on that?
Yeah, I think it'll have to work. Again, touching on what's happening with the cases going up and that, what have you. I think they're definitely going to be showing minutes. I imagine, you know, as James has mentioned, you know, the Norwich game, I can imagine, you know, Nketiah, you know, possibly starting that one. And if he doesn't start, then he might start the Wolves one. I don't think Lacazette could play, you know, those two games. I mean, he could probably play 60 minutes each time, but I can't see him playing any more than that in that quick turnaround. And then, I think Balogun probably will be looking to see who will want to take him on, you know, on loan. I think it's likely to be probably the Championship club, but I think that it's something that they, the club wanted to be a Premier League club. I don't know who that would be, but I'd say
Palace.
Get alone,
I would love
give
that.
Give him to Patrick.
Oh, 100%. I'm 100% behind that.
Just get him alone because he just needs to run the games. Because he's doing too much madness in the under 23. He's absolutely, you know, blitzing that. So definitely get alone. And Eddie and like I said, are definitely going to be getting a few, you know, showing a few minutes between now and the next, couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. John Brown, good friend. He basically is asking, what position, James, this is for you, what position are you putting forward for our January transfer business? Kind of a little bit similar to the other question, but what would you say?
I need the midfielder, 100%. I would like a striker, and I'd also like a right back. In the mould of what Tommy Asu is.
Clone him, please.
I think we're going to have to, you know, there's a lot of stuff at the moment going on about genetics in the world. So I think we need to invest in some. I think we might. Yeah, you're right. You know how
what
they.
What a wonderful player.
Well, you know, they clone these sheep and everything. So there's got to be a way to do it with humans, right? Eventually. I don't know. That's a different podcast for a different day. But I'm with you. I'm with you, Neil. No, clone him. Find a way.
It's magnificent.
Or, you know, like what they do with those thoroughbred horses where they freeze their semen and everything. Get him in the cups. Get him in the cups now and freeze his semen for later use. Start him young. Get it done now so we don't have to worry.
Oh my goodness. Well, all right. Well, there you go.
He's that good.
He's magnificent.
At football, really, I don't know. He could be terrible in a bedroom, but yeah.
For goodness sake, James.
At football, he's great.
There could be under 18s watching this, please.
Hey. I doubt it.
I doubt it as well. No, all right. No, that's great. No, I'm going to quickly answer John's question because it's at the end of the day, John, support and back your players and your manager. All right, son. That's it. That's my answer to your question about Arteta in or out.
James, who said obviously a player for Tommy, I said definitely yes, because I don't think the Leeds goal, the goal that Leeds, you know, where it came from, the penalty came from that side, you know, where Cedric was there and you just all went to pieces a little bit. You fair play to him, you know, he seemed like a winning guy, but you know, he's got a lot going for himself off the pitch, you know, if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. But that whole move came down the side which Tomiyasu would have probably had to deal with, and that's why Ben White came in off his feet again. That's one thing with him. I mean, he needs to stay on his feet a bit more. But yeah, definitely, you know, if you could get someone in that same ilk, of Tomiyasu, the same attributes, that'd be really clever signing. It could be someone young again, wouldn't it? Or someone more experienced, but yeah, I don't know who that would be.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Michael. I remembered to ask it and I forgot about Ben White, and I think that was probably one of the early sort of downers of that game, wasn't it? It's just he just goes to the floor too much, and this is causing issues. And to be fair, the Sunderland goal, I didn't really want to call that a negative too much. I don't think the defenders could. I mean, I thought that was a great goal by them, to be fair. I thought it was just a great goal. I mean, what more could we have done? Maybe a little bit of a change of the positioning, but I thought that was a fantastic taken goal. There's not much we could have done about that. So I don't think there were too many negatives. It's hard. It's unusual for us. We can't find any negatives, really, in recent games. But it's thrown me, to be honest. So, but I don't know if you guys want to add anything at all.
It all rests on this little run, Neil.
Yeah, absolutely.
All this that we're all happy and all that now could pale in significance in a couple of weeks.
No, I get it. We take each one game at a time. I think we don't want to get carried away with ourselves. I get it. We keep our feet firmly on the ground. We know what we've been bitten before. We had that 10-game run and then all of a sudden it came apart again. So we started to rebuild that. Let's just take one game at a time. So I just want to talk about the next game and predictions. So the next game, if I'm not mistaken, is the Norwich game, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. So, Michael, do you see any major changes very quickly, and what's your prediction for that game?
I can see probably, starting with Lacazette up front, and then it could quite easily be Eddie, but I think it'd be, like I said, he'll go as strong as he can, and the team that has been business, probably the one that started against Leeds. Just obviously worry a little bit. I think Norwich have played a little bit better. They've been a little bit harder to beat, I believe, since Dean Smith's been there. And obviously he knows, we turned obviously Villa over, but he's got a good record against Arteta. I'll take a 2-0 win there, and Lacazette to score. But just touching on, I'm just worried obviously how things are going to go. I just keep thinking the 4 points that I would have taken, those 4 points, the Everton and the Man United game. I just hope, just got to worry that coming into the season we're going to look at those games, because we should have come away from those games not having lost at least. And we gave those games away. And I think, that would have been probably what we deserve. But 4 points coming away from that. And I just hope that come the end of the season, Because if you add those 4 points on, I keep looking at the table, you add those 4 points.
We're 2 points behind Chelsea.
We're clear. You know, from that chase, from West Ham, we're in fifth, we're clear. So, you know, I just hope that doesn't, you know, come back to really
haunt us.
But yeah, 2-0 against Norwich.
Good. Well, I'd like to see that positivity. Cheers, Michael. James, what's your prediction? Major changes?
No, I think he's going to keep it the same. I think he'll probably rotate more for Wolves, even though Wolves are potentially the better side. But yeah, maybe he's like, I'll get that goal difference back up against Norwich, hopefully. But yeah, I'm going to go 3-1, and I'm going to go for Saka. I think Saka's a
start. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. I would do 3-1 Martinelli, but I'm guessing that's what you were going to do. So I'm going to go 3-1.
Oh, you are too kind. Of course, I'm going to do Martinelli.
Yeah. Of did course. I get the scoreline wrong?
I
sat here and was like, you're going to go 3-1 Martinelli, I could just tell.
No, all right. 3-1. Okay. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet on that game, but very much what Michael said. I'm actually going to go for a banger. I'm going to go 5-0.
Wow.
I'm going to go find it. I think Martinez is going to get another brace, and I think there's going to be Saka, I think Lacazette, I think they're going to get a plethora of goals. I really believe it, and I don't know why. Ooh. But it's about time we had another, you know, just tore a team apart, and I'd like to see it against Norwich.
It'd be good in between getting, you know, porn pup up on my stream and my turkey sandwich, you know, that'd be. Yeah, I'll enjoy a 5-0 with me leftovers, mate. That'd be great.
So 5-0. Well, I predicted last week playing Norwich, I predicted 10-0, so I'll go half this time.
Oh,
so
well,
5-0
yeah.
Martinelli. Yeah. 5-0 Martinelli.
Sorry to jump in again, but I think, again, you know, James touched on it, obviously, and yourself, Neil, like, you know, the next, you know, the five games in the new year. It's really going to be the one. But I personally think, and maybe going back on my prediction, I think I might change it, because what the Premier League have done today by postponing the Wolves and the Watford game, and the fact that Wolves have got a 7-day, you know, rest, you know, and before
nine,
they play
isn't
us.
It?
Yeah, not all nine, yeah. Yeah. And then we play games in you know, 3 hours. I said I might have to go strong in that one and a bit lighter in the Norwich game, possibly. Because you don't want to be playing a stronger team against maybe and then hit a Wolves side who've got a fairly decent record against us of late. So that game there, I think that one's going to have to be added onto that run, James. You know, the run that we've got in January. Because if we lose that and we stumble, that's going to be a bit of a dent as well. So I think it's ridiculous, you know, the situation that. They're going to have what, 7 or 9 games.
If you can guarantee me 4 points now, though, from these, I'll take it, because I think I still think Wolves are tricky, even though they're not, you know, they're not the side they are. I'm like, this new guy they've got in, still not bad, and they've still got
They play more open football.
They do, and the nucleus is all still there of all those. Yeah,
it could be a lot more, a bit of a more basketball type game, but. But yeah, it's the fact that they've got those days to actually plan and recuperate. We're going to be playing, you know, 2 games in that space of time. It's crazy. So,
and
he's got, Arteta's got earn his corn, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been once a week all season, pretty much. You know, there's been a few where people are like, oh, that's going to be bad for us. And I'm like, well, all of you are talking about how we need to get back into Europe. And I'm like, if we are going into Europe, we're going in with this squad. Okay, we'll make additions, but it's pretty much this is his team that if he stays, he's going to be in. And I'm like, so they've got to get used to playing twice a week.
I agree. Yeah. I don't.
I'm like, it's one I'm like, a week, rubbish. Either you. Oh, yeah, but I'm like, oh no, they can't do twice a week. Well, then, well, why bother playing to get into Europe then? Because if you think we can't do it now.
We've got no hope. Exactly. I agree, Michael, that was good.
They've got to learn.
They've got to. Michael, you said you might change your prediction. Are you still sticking the 2-0 against Norwich?
I'd say 2-0 still, but I'd say Nketiah will probably start and he'll score.
Okay. All right. James, you're still saying 3-1, are you?
Oh, yeah.
And Saka. And I'm going with 5-0 Martinelli. Okay, right. Well. Thank you so much, everyone. Sorry, it went on a bit longer than we thought, but no, that's all good. We've got lots to discuss. We're happy gunners at the moment, or gooners at the moment, and long may it continue. So it just leaves me, and I'm sure the other lads will say, but a very Merry Christmas to you all, and a very fruitful and healthy and safe 2022. But thank you so much, as always. You can always find us on the usual platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Apple, and all the good ones. And hopefully it should be out in the
Neil,
next
can
24
I, can
hours.
I just quickly be, can I just
yeah.
quickly be cheeky?
Yeah, no, go for it.
Okay, yeah. I hate doing this sort of thing, but Spotify now let you leave ratings and reviews.
Okay.
I'd hate to be a beg, but if you're listening and you've got, you know, even if you want to call me a wanker, just leave something on there. Just so it's there. Just do
stay
it.
Stay off the source, James.
No,
time,
it helps. The algorithms are so difficult, right?
No, the range part is fine.
But just, you know, just leave
no,
us.
No, fair play. No, be cool. No. If you can, that would be much appreciated. And likewise, on YouTube.
They can't see it on Spotify, but if you're listening audio, Michael's got two brilliant little elves on the shelf with their Arsenal hat.
Yeah, he has.
That's worth a few stars in its own right.
No, you're right. Good call, James.
There's worse podcasts just than us with a 5-star rating. Why can't I have a 5-star rating? Why can't you have a 5-star rating?
Well done, James. Well done. No, agree with it. And also, just before James cuts me off again, can you please also, if you don't like watching us, if you do quickly chat, just tune into the YouTube version where we are visual, and just leave us a like, and even if you can, a subscribe, that'll be really, really helpful. It will just makes it that much more worthwhile for us to be doing this kind of thing, especially, you know, a couple of days before Christmas where people have got, you know, commitments, et cetera. So I want to, because of that, I want to thank you again, James. I want to thank you, Michael, and to Anthony, who will do all the editing. So appreciate it. And maybe Jack will be back for the next one. Who knows? But onwards and upwards. And come on, you gunners. And until next time, farewell.